You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good everybody, welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 17th of October 2017. Thank you all for tuning in. On tonight's program, we're going to be continuing on when we were talking about last Saturday. We were talking about John Piper, and before we get into that, just explain, there was no program last night. Now, I know the Monday night shows might not happen every Monday from now on, but I have a lot of material definitely to cover about John Piper, so whether or not this will continue until next Saturday, we will see. I'll probably get through it today, to be honest. But many of you might be aware, may not be aware, there was a huge storm, well, huge for here at least, in Ireland yesterday. It was, oddly enough, a hurricane originally, and it was called Ophelia. And basically, didn't know anything about it until Sunday night. Got a text message from work that I wasn't, that it was no work, and I was like, okay. I thought it was kind of over the top, and then looked into it, and there was, you know, the information was that speeds up to 145 kilometers an hour of the wind, and to be honest, I think we avoided much of the problems. I didn't want, well, it's kind of distracting, you know, you kind of do whatever you can, especially when you get an extreme storm like that. You try to make sure there's nothing in the backyard that can blow around, be a hazard or a danger to anybody, you know, putting away wheelie bins or anything like that. Actually, even in England today, I saw some pictures of wheelie bins ending up on power lines. It's not smart that people leave out their bins in such extreme conditions, but unfortunately, people were doing that. So sorted all that out Sunday night, and as soon as I got back from church, you know, just to make sure that there was no danger to life or anything like that. But that was like 11 or 12 o'clock at night or something like that before I went to bed. And didn't know if the power was going to be cut or anything like that, so I didn't want to be doing a program. And I knew, you know, it's always at the back of your head. You know, you're wondering if you're going to be recording this in the dark, and also realizing that my equipment, you know, depends on the power. Anyway, long story short, the program didn't happen yesterday, even though the material was ready to go. And I put up a thing on Facebook yesterday, and thank you for your prayers. We're all okay. Three people died yesterday in Ireland, and, you know, for such, yeah, it's obviously very, very sad. But yeah, three people died, and I don't know what to say, really. That, make sure if you're listening that you know the Lord. We don't know. Our life is but a vapor, appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. So, we don't know. You can be doing little things, and before you know it, the Lord can be calling you to stand before Him. And are you going to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ? His perfect righteousness, his active and passive obedience, or will you be standing in your own filthy rags, depending on your own works? There's only two ways to stand before the Father, in your own filthy rags, or in the perfect robe within the perfect righteousness of Christ. So that was yesterday anyway, and I didn't even know if I was back to work this morning, because, of course, after a major storm like that, trees were down, everything else, but strangely enough, it's actually back to normal today, so here we are, and again, thank you for your prayers, and much appreciated about that, because I'll be honest, I hear about storms like that, and usually they don't quite make Ireland. I think it's probably the first hurricane to make Ireland in a long, long, long time, maybe about 50 years. I don't know how long it was ago, but I digress. Anyway, so let's get into our program. Where to start? I went through the recent sermon, again, it's a recent sermon and some old material showing, I believe, John Piper teaching a works salvation. And if you want more on that, you're going to have to go back to the last program. You're going to be convinced of that. Unfortunately, there's more. As a friend of mine emailed me that John Piper's kind of doubled down. I don't know if it's doubling down or maybe just, hard to know, maybe it's doubling down from criticism or it's, this article was going to come out anyway. An article on the desiringgod.org website was put out by Greg Morse. Now, I think sometimes when people saw this article posted on John Piper's Twitter and on the Desiring God Twitter, I think they presumed that this was written by John Piper. John Piper didn't actually write this, but it's just the same thing that we were looking at the last day. This article, written on the 14th of October, very, very recently by Greg Morris. The tweet went out like this. Now, this is on the Desiring God Twitter page, dated the 15th of October and 1 o'clock, my time, AM in Irish time, if you want to trace it back, but might be hard to find. If you just go to my Twitter page, actually, you'll be able to find it, I think. Maybe a bit easier, more easily. It says, you're not saved through faith alone. That's it. Seriously. You're not saved through faith alone. Be killing your sin. This is the Desiring God website. So now it's not even trying to intellectualize or anything. It's just being blatant. And we've got to stop. I've seen different responses from people. I've seen responses from people where they kind of want to go, well, I don't know what exactly what's going on, but hey, here's what justification, here's what sanctification, here's what good works, and all this kind of stuff. I believe the Westminster Standards are teaching. It's kind of a bit scary that people are so fuzzy about it, but at least that was done, I suppose. Okay. And then there's other kind of responses, which is, well, we're being too critical. Making a mountain out of a molehill kind of thing. Which is amazing when you think about it. This is the gospel. Now, before we get into what was said in this article by Greg Morris, who writes for desiringgod.org, who said teaches exactly the same thing as Piper. How should we react to a false gospel? You know, I think I'm going to... How about we let John Piper speak for this? This was posted a few weeks ago, 19th of September 2017, on his YouTube channel, on the Desiring God YouTube channel. And what does John Piper say about false gospels? Should we be nice?
One is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that one is preaching. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed, let him be anathema, let him be damned. So what you see immediately is that in this chapter, in this letter, in this conference based on this letter, in the Reformation, exploded by this letter, in the Christian faith that stands or falls with the message of this letter, what you see is that the Christian faith and the Reformation and this conference and this book and this chapter deal with things on which your eternal destiny hangs. Let them be damned if they come preaching another gospel. You get the gospel wrong, you perish. And therefore, this letter and this conference and the Reformation and Christianity should cause there to echo in your heart an unparalleled seriousness about life and worship. Unparalleled seriousness. Unparalleled seriousness of joy that Grace and peace is ours in verse 3. Joy that deliverance from this present evil age and its destruction is yours in Christ Jesus. Joy that there's an all-satisfying glory of God being exalted through this letter in verse 5. Unparalleled seriousness of joy and unparalleled seriousness of astonishment. The people you know, people in your church, people in your family are walking away from the gospel of grace and perishing because somebody has held out to them an alternative that for some insane reasons seems superior.
Now, just to interject, I just keep noticing this when I listen to John Piper. Anytime he talks about glory, he talks about joy, joy, joy. He sticks joy in there the whole time. To whom be glory forever, ever, verse 5, and etc. and so on. Just be wary of that when you're listening to him. But anyway, we're going to take his own advice. Unparalleled seriousness.
And you want to say, how can you do that? You are astonished with serious astonishment. And third, an unparalleled seriousness of anger in verse 7. Let them be accursed. So there's this group purporting to be from James. It says that in chapter 2. And they are distorting the gospel, adding to the gospel. And Paul is calling down a curse on them. Whose curse? Paul's? Chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Paul is calling down God's curse upon people who are directing people away from the curse remover. And it makes him furious that people in the name of Jesus would direct people away from the curse remover, the curse bearer, the substitution, and the one who takes on all the wrath for us. So he's really angry, and he's calling down God's damnation upon those who would direct people away from the damnation remover.
Not the best way to describe it, be it as it may. Yeah, we should be angry. That's so serious. Piper's own words, a false gospel is. That's what we're dealing with here. You dare add works, your own filthy rags, to salvation. You're corrupting the gospel. We went through this for an hour and a half the last day. We're going to be dealing with this extra stuff here. So it is undoubtedly serious. How should we be dealing with such a topic? Say, well, you know, we can get along. You know, this is beyond the confession, so we can agree to disagree over the gospel. You know, I think it's astonishing we are so ignorant of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. We are so ignorant of sanctification, what it is. The distinctions between them, how they are linked together. They're inseparable in one sense, but they are distinct in another. Works come out of sanctification. And that sanctification produces the evidence and fruit that declare that we have been born again, declare that we have been justified. There are fruits, necessary fruits, that show forth justifying faith, that it is a lively faith and not a dead faith, like James chapter 2 talks about at the end of the chapter. But faith does not become the condition, which now works do not become the condition. That fruit does not become the condition. The faithfulness does not become the condition by which we attain a final salvation, or by which you attain a second justification, or whatever you want to call it. Paul says, if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Eternal destinies are at stake. And you think, you probably go, oh, well, John Piper's so well known, and he's blessed the church in so many ways. What does Scripture say? The man has been demonstrated to preach a false gospel. Even his own channel is getting more obvious. You're not saved through faith alone. Now, on his own page, it says, real Christians don't train their dragons. He shared this article, and I'm going to look at it in a second. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Damnable heresies among God's people. Grievous wolves, Paul warned about in Acts chapter 20. Now, in this article shared, which is called How to Train Your Dragons, Killing Pet Sins Before They Kill You, by Greg Morris, who writes for Desiring God, there's things in this article I agree with. The seriousness of sin. We should be killing sin. Absolutely. We should take sin seriously. We should not have pet sins. I agree. However, in a zeal to avoid antinomianism, he has taken on legalism. He's added works to the gospel. He said in the article shared by John Piper on his own channel and on Desiring God, he says in this article that was shared, if you have a pet sin, you must renounce it at once. Your salvation depends on it. Only those who have a string of sins carcasses behind them will enter into heaven. Only those who work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, unquote, know that God is working in them and will and to will and to work of his own pleasure will be saved. Right? Then he says in this article, but what about being saved by faith alone? You're not. There you have it, folks. Yes, this is really there. One of the biggest names in the quote-unquote reformed new Calvinism, trendy, whatever you want to call it, movement, is teaching a false gospel, has corrupted the gospel of grace, and must be called to repent. He denies sola fide. Now, we went through the distinction and his own flavor of New Perspectives in Paul and Auburn Avenue. This would fall under this umbrella. Which exact flavor of that umbrella? I don't know. You know, Federal Vision, Auburn Avenue, New Perspective on Paul, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't matter. It's legalism. It's corrupting the gospel. But what he says, and this is the thing. See, the initial part of salvation, according to Desiring God and John Piper, is that's by faith alone. They'll hammer that home all the time. Justification is by faith alone. That's the initial part of entering in. Then sanctification is, you know, works and all this kind of stuff. And then they talk about a final salvation. They say, no, you're not saved by faith alone in final salvation. It's by faith and works.
So what happens is, yeah, it's grace at the beginning and then works later, necessary for your salvation. So it's getting works in the back door and all this kind of thing. This article says, well, what about being saved by faith alone? You're not. You're justified through faith alone. Final salvation comes through justification and sanctification, both initiated and sustained by God's grace. And then it goes on. Confusing sanctification with justification. And drifting perilously towards popery, if not there already. Just lacking a few distinctions that the popery does. You're not... The message from Desiring God Now is this. You're not saved by grace alone. The article says, but what about being saved by faith alone? You're not. Denies it. Was this shared by John Piper? It was. Does Piper believe this too? He does. Back in 2015, he said the same thing. In a recent sermon, he said the same thing as well. That inherent righteousness is required from is required for heaven. He says, justification is by faith alone. But then, in order to attain heaven, it's not by faith alone. It's by faith and works. That's the message coming out, Desiring God. From Desiring God and John Piper. It's tragic. There's a number of things you can do. You're in that church. And I saw somebody tweeting this. I think it was R. Scott Clark who actually tweeted this. He's a critic of Piper. You have two options. You can file charges or you can leave. They're the only two choices you have if you're in John Piper's church. If you want to be faithful to the gospel, you cannot support that ministry anymore. You cannot support John Piper anymore. Is everybody going to see this? Probably not. And I'm not going to fight with everybody or have, back and forth debates. Some people see Doug Wilson and Timothy Keller's errors, and some people don't. We still have to work within the visible church and, as much as possible, point out errors. We can't be schismatics. We can't be fighting with everybody. We need to be careful about this. But if you know this and you clearly see this, have a theological backbone, stand on the truth, oppose error, stand for the gospel. This is the gospel. You're going to stand for this? Or are you just going to talk about it? Are you just going to celebrate 500 years of the Reformation? And, the way people always like, oh, well, if I only lived in the 16th, 17th century. A battle is going on right now for the doctrine of justification within so-called professing reformedom. And this is especially important for pastors. I know people are going to say, well, this is only in America. It's only guys like Doug Wilson, N.T. Wright, although N.T. Wright's, in the Church of England. Oh, that's just isolated. No, it's not. People read N.T. Wright. People read Douglas Wilson. People read John Piper. Okay? His stuff is everywhere. If you're a minister in a church, you cannot remain silent. Stop ignoring this. Deal with this. I can guarantee you have someone in your church, at least one, if not many, who are influenced by the teachings of Piper. And how long before you will have this heresy growing within your own church, or within your own denomination? Or maybe it's already there. Now, the biggest responsibilities on the church courts, in order to have church discipline and all this kind of thing. But, Piper's, they're in, Bethlehem is an independent church. So there's very little that can be done unless, charges can be filed within that congregation, and I don't know how their ecclesiology exactly works, whether it's, you know, democracy, mob rule, you know, the congregation voting or something like that, or if it's just the elders. The elders must act. But you have another person within the organization teaching legalism and a false gospel. And this next topic that I'm going to be covering about Lecrae and the kind of virtue-signaling social justice warrior-style leftist politics, quasi-socialism, whatever you want to call it, supported by Piper, doesn't seem nearly as important, and don't think that it is. I've seen people dealing with this issue, but this isn't nearly as important, and don't think that it is. I know a couple of years ago, John Piper tweeted about, you know, his support for Black Lives Matter. Her story is kind of like the creation of the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter has basically exposed itself to being a domestic terrorist group within the United States, killing cops, and being something that should never be promoted by any Christian leader, well, ever. Trying to get up the tweet. This is from a couple of years ago. So what I'm going to be talking about here, you know, is not within a vacuum. He tweeted a couple of years ago, this is John Piper, if Black Lives Matter matters, know why from our own website, blacklivesmatter.com, see what we believe and her story. So, and John Piper's anti-gun and everything else. But again, this pales in comparison with what we just dealt with. It almost like you could just stop there. But is it in a vacuum? No. And you just notice, you will always notice that these teaching. I emailed a lot of people with some of the things that we dealt with in the last program about, I was wondering, am I seeing something that's not there and all that? And I even at times did not give the name of the person saying what was said by Piper in his article, Does God Really Save Us by Faith Alone, that he put up in Desiring God a few weeks ago. I didn't tell him who wrote it. I just gave the quote. And some people asked me, is this John Piper? And even identifying him as one person. So this seems to be not new at all. People seem to have done, been aware of him for a long time. I would ask, well, why aren't there articles out there? I know some people have written about it. E.S. Williams is one. I don't see much. I see little bits, but surely somebody, some pastor somewhere, who compiled the case against. Now, I know E.S. Williams has written a booklet that just recently came out, and I finished reading that recently. But surely more pastors can compile the evidence. I know I've talked to a number of people, can compile the evidence against Piper. Surely. Somebody can do it. Can it be more than just one person? In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. It's better if it's many people. So anyway, the other story I'm going to cover at the end of this program, for the remainder of the program, is an appearance by Lecrae, who is a quote-unquote Christian rapper, who's been popular for years, has been at John Piper's church a number of times, and I don't know a ton about him, to be honest. I'm not really into all that. You would call it trendy new Calvinism kind of whole vibe. I'm not a fan of the whole hip hop, let's Christianize everything, metal, whatever else. There are things we just should stay away from. is there a commandment, thou shalt not listen to hip-hop or anything? No, but there are that whole culture, that whole lifestyle, and there are other ones as well that we should just avoid. Because I think things like that, they will just have an influence on us, whether we realize it or not. Now, but I'm not really dealing with it here, to be honest. It's not my purpose really to be dealing with that here. What I'm dealing with is what I see is blatant racism. And, you know, John Piper on the 6th of October wrote an article called Lecrae. You know, it's called 116 Been Real. Lecrae, White Evangelicalism and Hope. Now, he talks about there's a podcast that Lecrae appeared on. And Lecrae and John Piper, from what I can see anyway, very close in their own way. And yeah, they're very close. I think they go back years. I think wasn't Lecrae, he's been at the Passion conferences and things like that. If there's time, I'm going to play some of this podcast and go through some of what was said. But in John Piper's article, he says, this interview, along with the new album just released, All Things Work Together, gives expression to Lecrae's loosening his ties with, quote, white evangelicalism, unquote. There are echoes here of the same development recently chronicled about Jamar Lisby and the Reformed African American Network. These loosening of ties, considered by itself, is not the reason I am thankful and hopeful, but the loosening is not by itself. Now, just to cut to the chase, why he's hopeful, and it's kind of not great, but it's just like he's hopeful and thankful basically because Lecrae, long story short, Lecrae did not apostatize, and he said he could have been one of the many people who could have become enemies of the faith and all this kind of stuff. Setting the bar low indeed. But how about we deal with Lecrae's sin? And that's what Lecrae's been involved with here. As a brother in Christ, if he is a brother in Christ, to call him to repentance when he's talking about loosening himself from white evangelicalism? Could you imagine if a white person said, I'm separating myself from black evangelicalism? What would you call it? Racism. And this is what kills me. I'm not really into this whole area of covering this kind of stuff, I'll be honest. A lot of people do cover blogs, and I'm not interested in a lot of stuff, I'll be honest. But we're here, and this whole double standard of it's okay for blacks to be racist. Let's just be honest. I don't care who you are, what your skin color is, or whatever else. Racism is wrong. What I'm tired of, I am absolutely sick of, is the... Now, this quote's going to come from Bill Maher, and Bill Maher is like a liberal commentator guy I don't like, but I remember one time he said, the soft bigotry of low expectations. And that's what it is. We're being patronizing towards black people by saying, it's okay if you're racist. It's not okay if anybody's racist. To this identity politics, whether it's the alt-right when they do it, whether it's Black Lives Matter when they do it, or anybody else. It's wrong. It's wrong. Now, there's a problem. See, and with the alt-right, you get this reactionary movement, like the things that get Charlottesville. And Charlottesville, what happens at Charlottesville, you know, the white supremacists who are there and all this kind of stuff, that's a kind of a microcosm. There are some big enough alt-right organizations who I just think, to be honest, I think a lot of them are just incredibly naive. I don't think they realize what they're involved with. I think they're on the cusp of being proper Nazis without actually being Nazis, if you know what I mean. I reject what they're involved with. I've seen a lot of what they're involved. They talk about, you know, white genocide and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's debatable if you could say they're complete racists or whatever like that. But I couldn't care less about what skin color people are in 50 years' time. What I care about is, will Christ be exalted in the nation? If we all have darker skin, who cares? As long as Christ is exalted. What, you know, like, they're against race mixing and all this kind of stuff. You know, that they don't, you know, they're saying, well, we have our white race, we should keep that and all this kind of stuff. I know I'm simplifying the message probably too much. But as elements of this, all of the alt-right, now, there's a lot of people call themselves alt-right who aren't alt-right. So just because somebody's linked in or tagged in, or even maybe hang out with some slightly racist alt-right people, doesn't make them racist themselves. It's a look, they are kind of, at the moment with the alt-right, this kind of, because they annoy liberals, or the people on the right who were not alt-right at all, work with them, foolishly, I believe, work with these other organizations. You know, sometimes it's just YouTube channels and people sharing shows together and things like that, purely because they don't like leftist politics or, you know, social justice warriors and all this kind of stuff. But that they will work together purely because they share a common enemy. There's no real end goal in it. They'll write against, rightly, the, you know, Islam, the abuses of Islam, and the threat that Islam poses to the West and all that. But then, as a solution, some of these people on the alt-right will link it in with preserving of Western civilization linked with whiteness. Yeah, a lot of people in America and Europe and all that are white, but that's not what Western civilization is about. If you want to talk about preserving Western civilization. Now, as Christians, it's not about defending Western civilization. It should be about upholding the law of God in the land and the first commandment. Thou shalt have no gods before me. We should never support a false religion in any way, shape, or form. In its promotion of its lies throughout the land, as much as it is within our power to do so, to stop it, we should. We're called to do so. Whenever it is, again, within our legitimate legal means to do so. We obey the laws of the land. We submit to the magistrates unless they command us to do something that's not biblical. So you get elements, but this is a sliver, a small element. Really, it is. The guys like Richard Spencer, I'm convinced if Richard Spencer, not to be mistaken with Robert Spencer, I don't know how people do that, but, you know, Robert Spencer's the guy who runs Jihad Watch, but Richard Spencer, who's an actual white supremacist, yeah, and they don't seem like horrible Nazis to some people, I know, because, yeah, look at the language of David Duke, you know, constantly talk about the Jews and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they want to make it out and look like, oh, you know, to quote another racist, you know, Eric Phillips, who's, you know, if you type in the word Jesuit conspiracy, probably been one of the first people to pop up. All they just say is, we don't hate other races. We just want segregation of our own. Why? Because you think it's better and all this kind of stuff. You link in civilization and all this kind of stuff with races, and you have race theories and identification politics, all this kind of stuff. It's racism. If you're going to marry somebody, for example, can I give you an example? If you're marrying somebody, it does not matter about... there's nothing wrong. Look, if a guy wants to marry somebody wrong color and all that, and it's just a slight preference, maybe looks-wise or whatever, fine. But if they've got a prejudice against somebody of that, then we have a problem. Then that's sin. If it's purely based in skin color. If you've got a group of people, you know, Asian, Hispanic, black, white, whatever, and they're all in Jesus Christ, if they love Jesus Christ, they are one in him, and they're in unity together, and they share something incredible with each other. The gospel brings people together. People who would have previously maybe hated each other because of sin in our hearts. That's the real root of racism. Hating some other group purely because of what their ancestors did and all this kind of stuff, whatever it is. The gospel brings people together. I know two friends of mine, good friends of mine, and, you know, in Ireland, they would have been on opposite ends of the political spectrum. And one of them, Lord willing, I'll give him a chance to share his testimony. It's an incredible testimony. Long story short, you know, there's troubles in Northern Ireland. One was a police officer, and one was involved in an IRA family. And long story short, now they're very good friends, and they work together in the Lord. That is the power of the gospel. It brings unity. It brings people together. And what Lecrae is doing is the complete opposite of that. There shouldn't be white evangelicalism, black evangelicalism. There is the church. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Why do you think there was those special types, signs and wonders that were given in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, it was the Jews, then the Samaritans were brought in. Signs and wonders showing that they were part of the church. Then the Gentiles were brought in, Acts chapter 10. To show that the Samaritans and the Jews were on equal spiritual footing, the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. And there's massive bigotry between them. But the gospel, the church, the Spirit of God brought them together. If you have a problem with somebody in the church based upon their skin color, or where they grew up, or what family they were in, or what political organization they may be involved in the past, you need to repent. And I'm tired of hearing black people given a pass for the racism. So, John Piper talks about Lecrae's loosening his ties when white evangelicalism has roots. I'm going to play, actually, some of the clip. From Lecrae's interview on this podcast, and we'll comment on it.
A little bit. So I had a friend text me the other day who said they listened to your new production and they walked.
Just to explain, this is Truth's Table. You can find this at overcast.fm, and Facts About Lecrae is the name of the podcast. This is from the 30th of September, 2017.
And, you know, I think Lecrae just divorced white evangelicalism. So, I didn't say that. But. But that's what the text message said, okay? And so I'm throwing that out there to you because I want you to chew on that and respond to it. Like, what do you say to that comment?
Well, there's so many aspects of that. Let's start with just the musicality, right? So on one end of the spectrum, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine, Tyree, who is the curator for the African American Museum in Los Angeles. And he said to me, and it was really profound, he said, throughout the years, you know, you've always said some things that were poignant and provocative for, you know, black people. He said, but the phenotype of your music was not black. He said, you know, sonically, it wasn't resonating with our soul. You know, you may have said some things that we needed to hear, but it's kind of like you can... You know, it's like the I Have a Dream speech over a rock record. And it's kind of like, man,
I remember when I listened to this first, I was going, okay, fine. You know, the music is not black enough. But the more I listened to it, I listened to this over probably about three or four times because I thought a number of publications, it kind of overblown. Even John Piper, I'm like, I'm not hearing what all the big deal is about. But then I kind of got it. This whole thing, this guy is saying to him in the curator of the history of the California African American Museum, told him, right, you know, that the phenotype of your music was not black. That really kind of annoys me. I'm not into hip hop, but I couldn't care less about this argument. It's not about that, but it's just this whole thing about not being black enough. There's this pressure on, let's be honest, there's a pressure upon black people when they do work hard, when they're successful, when they go on, when they excel, when they go whatever direction, whatever, if they, you know, reject the gangster glorifying lifestyle, the thuggery of, you know, all that is associated with, you know, those kind of Black Lives Matter movements from the past, when they reject that, when they're not, you know, exalting that kind of gangland mentality, whatever, they're seen as being too white or being seen as Uncle Tom. So there's a guy who's a conservative commentator. I don't think he's a Christian at all. Don't know a ton about him, but Larry Elder is his name, and he's a black commentator, and something he's called a lot is an Uncle Tom. And I just think it's just so disgusting that there has to be, again, it's more racism, and it's kind of like, you're black, so you have to act this way. Why? The problem, you know, if you look at the statistics within, especially the black community in the United States, I don't know about in other countries, but in the United States, at least I know the statistics on that, the problem is not black skin. It's got nothing to do with black skin. Everything's got a black culture. The culture that they believe in, and that it comes from hip-hop music that promotes this death style that exalts being against the system, against the police. I know, I used to listen to some of this stuff years ago. I know what this trash talks about. It's anti-authoritarian. This is, unfortunately, this is black culture. And are we supposed to say, oh yeah, reconnect with your roots and all this? But it's just, I find it really frustrating, because rather than Lecrae being, he's an individual, there's this pressure to just, you know, be like everybody else. Be like, conform with black culture. There's pressures in all types of cultures. I live in Ireland. And there's a pressure to be politically, you know, fairly bigoted towards the British, you know, if you know anything about Irish history. So there's pressures in all types of groups. It's not just these type, you know, it's not just the black community and all this kind of stuff. But it's not right in any community for this type of prejudice and this hatred towards, like in Northern Ireland, for example. I remember Richard Bennett was over a couple of years ago. Richard Bennett's been on the program a few times. He runs BreanBeacon.org. And he was talking about the lack of love that the professing Protestants in Northern Ireland had for the Roman Catholics. They didn't have love for the Roman Catholics. And he was dead right. That's a problem. That's prejudice when that happens. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Share the gospel with them. Love them. They may have killed your family. Share the gospel with them. They are dead in trespasses and sins, and we all deserve hell. If you've been a recipient of grace, if you've been born again in the Spirit, or if you do not desire for them to be converted, you need to repent. You're in sin. So, just brief comment. It really annoys me when I see that kind of stuff. But anyway, let's continue.
And it's kind of like, man, this is not culturally where we come from. So I think on this album, artistically, absolutely, I said, this is for the culture. This is who Lecrae is. And this is not Lecrae placating or trying to make a song that caters to, a white audience in any fashion, even though those are the people who may show up at my show. I'm not going to do that. And I spoke out very frequently, you know, throughout 2016 in many different ways. And it affected me. You know, I went from a show that may have 3,000 people there to 300. And but that was the.
I do not know what just happened there. Stop playing now. Let's see if we can play here. That's unfortunate. 2 seconds there. I'm just going to try and get back. Hopefully this
frequently.
Okay, this player will give a problem again. Okay.
You know, throughout 2016 in many different ways. And it affected me. You know, I went from a show that may have 3,000 people there to 300. And but that was the.
Okay, there seems to be a problem with that player, and it's just not working at the moment for some odd reason. I do not know why. Anyway, so he talks about that. And number two other points he makes, right, in this interview. He feels uncomfortable being an evangelical mascot, and which is really, really bad. It's like, he do, whatever the case may be, you know, would be the opportunity maybe to share the gospel with people and things like that, but he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to be seen as a kind of a, I don't know, an evangelical, whatever the point is with that. But in the third point that he makes as well, he talks about, and this is the point that John Piper makes in his article. He went public with his disdain over the Michael Brown shooting and woke up to the reality that this evangelical world did not feel what he felt. And look, I mean, there's a lot of mythology about the whole Michael Brown thing. Obviously, he felt that he was unjustly killed and all this kind of stuff. Even though, look, just do your own research and look up Michael Brown and Ben Shapiro's video on that. He did one for Truth Revolt a couple of years ago. A lot of it, what you've learned from the media, is just race baiting. But I digress. And because, a lot, especially I suppose a lot of white people didn't agree with him, that he was kind of taken aback. I want to focus on his race, you know, this whole idea of racial identity development. Piper writes in his article, this phrase, identity work, talks about it, he's working on his, it's pity we can't play this actually. I'm going to try one more time, actually. Actually, this actually works on SoundCloud. I did not know that. Okay. So.
Different ways.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot better. Okay, we're gonna go back to this, try and get through it really fast because we're running out of time in this program.
And it affected me. You know, I went from a show that may have 3,000 people there to 300. But that was the cost, you know, that was the cost. But those 300 people were people who I knew loved Lecrae, the black man, the Christian, all of who Lecrae was, not the caricature that had been drawn up for them. And so in that regard, yeah, you know, if that's a divorce, then sure. Carl Ellis told me about a year and a half ago.
And you probably go, oh, well, that's just the kind of language he's using, whatever, you know. In this situation, you shouldn't be causing division in church, saying that that's white evangelicalism, what is this, black evangelicalism, whatever it is. Shouldn't be causing racial segregation in the church. And none of us, doesn't matter what color we are, should be clinging to our cultural identity unless that is specifically from the Word of God. For example, it's a little bit different in the UK. You know, if there is something in the British Constitution that is biblical, we should support it. Okay? But I'm sorry, but unfortunately, in black culture, when you talk about Malcolm X and all this kind of stuff, this is, a lot of it is violent revolutionary Marxism, which we, you know, I don't care what color you are, you should never be supporting it. There are, for example, there's a similar example in Ireland, except, you know, a lot of us are white here, but we shouldn't be supporting violent revolutionary Marxism or even having sympathies towards the thuggery of groups like the IRA and their political organizations that fronted them, like Sinn Féin and all those kind of groups that work over here. So, and other similar groups that would be sympathetic towards those groups and towards terrorism, like the British Labour Party and things like that. Actually, the current leader, Jeremy Corbyn, was very much tally towards the IRA many, you know, decades ago, back in the time when, you know, the IRA were bombing places. So from my I'm going to give my own point, like my own background, nationalism in the Republic of Ireland, a lot of it's built upon, you know, like the whole dream to create a Roman Catholic nation, all this kind of stuff. But be that as it may, a violent hatred towards the British, specifically Protestantism, that's what it's all based upon. Rome seized and used Ireland as a battering ram against the British. In repentance and in sanctification, I need to turn from my culture. Seriously. I do. Because my culture, the Irish culture now, Christ-rejecting, God-hating. What is Irish culture? St. Patrick's Day, getting drunk. Stuff that St. Patrick himself would disgusted by. So it doesn't matter who we are. Now, if we come from a Christian culture and there's elements that are Christian, we should support that. I'm not saying you reject everything from your culture. But if there's things from your past, from what your parents supported or whatever, if it's against the scriptures, if it supports violence and hatred towards other people of other groups, like, unfortunately, a lot of what black culture placates, a lot of racism against white people, then that should be rejected. And if somebody comes to Christ, it doesn't matter what color you are, we are brothers in Jesus Christ. We are one. There are no races on the earth. We're all of one blood. We're son or daughters of Adam. And the difference at the end of time, whether Adam is our federal head or whether Christ is our federal head, not the color of our skin.
You know, he said, you know, you do not have to be evangelical from the traditional standpoint. And that just kind of rocked me because I didn't realize, you know, it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's categories that I don't have to subscribe to, but I can still be faithful to what I believe. And so, yeah, I think, you know, as far as white evangelicalism is concerned, I don't feel any sense of like prioritizing or saying like, oh, no, I gotta, you know, I feel a priority to be who God has made Lecrae to be and not who white evangelical.
What do you mean by white evangelicals? Are you just saying that there's like whites in the churches? How about pastors like, I don't know, Conor Webbe, who's in Africa in a Baptist church in Zambia? Or there's plenty of Vody Bakum, who's a black pastor. And I'm sure plenty of others. Yeah, there's other, I can't think of names off the top of my head, but there's plenty of others who are like, a lot of the churches would be kind of prosperity gospel. A lot of them don't even preach the gospel and things like that. But there are many. So this whole thing that it's white evangelicalism, sorry, but this is racism. How about the church being one and loving Jesus Christ and where necessary, all of us repent where needed? Not saying, you know, I'm not placating to this section of the church, whoever they are. How about we do all things to the glory of God? How about that?
Evangelicalism wants to look crazy.
Yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate that. And I appreciate your candor on that question. I imagine that it's taken some hard times to get to that particular place, to say that with such ease and such clarity and without pulling any punches like you just did. And if possible, could you share a little bit of that journey? I mean, in the work that I do, we might look at that as what we call racial identity development work, where along our journey, we have experiences that usually very difficult experiences that can rock us. For some people, that was this last.
Why why does difficult experiences have to be, well, this the color of my skin? How about our identity in Christ? Because otherwise we're just going to have look at a place like New York City. It's all like, you know, Little Italy, and there's all these segments of society. They're all different, you know, down in Manhattan and places like that, lower Manhattan. Do you want the church like that? Christ should bring us together. And if there's elements of our background and culture that is anti-Christian, we should renounce it and forsake it. I mean, seen as, I'm going to get some of the influences there, because I don't want to attribute anything to him that he's not saying is part of his background. This whole thing of racial identity development, Piper says this phrase, identity work, is an allusion to the term racial identity development work that many young blacks are forced to undertake. Forced. I love this. Forced. Yeah. Yeah, because like Piper sees there's systemic racism everywhere. How about rather than just saying the systemic racism, how would we point out individual cases of racism rather than turning blacks and Hispanics and anybody else into perpetual victims? Same with the Irish do. How about we just look at individual cases of racism, denounce those and deal with those individually rather than saying, hey, there's racism everywhere like the left does. But yeah, here's a novel idea. Lecrae's interview, Piper says, interviewers said that it may be required by events, but like the presidential election or being called the N-word at school. What does the presidential election have to do? How are these two things linked? I don't know. Does Piper think that Trump is some, you know, horrible racist? Nobody was saying that Trump was racist prior to getting elected, by the way. Why? And he was in the public eye for how many decades? I don't like Trump, but he's certainly not racist, and he's been working with many different inner city black groups for decades, working with different groups in different capacities. I mean, you know, just pure to be conservative qualifies you as a racist these days. Racial identity work talks about this. I'm going to skip on because for the sake of time. Talks about thankfulness and hope, John Piper. His new album bears a title from Romans 8:28. This invincible promise was key to unlocking the promise of identity, confusion, and depression. We know that for those who love God and work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose. Lecrae said he wants people to rest in the reality of grace. All things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That means all things. The pain, the suffering, the tears. Yeah, but the racial segregation that this is going to cause, you know, we're one in Christ. You know, the early church wasn't supposed to get, hey, I've got Jewish blood, hey, I got Gentile blood, I've got Samaritan blood. How do you think that would work in the early church? Piper goes on to write, do you see why I respond to Lecrae's identity development work with thankfulness? You know what? I actually don't. But anyway, he says, I know young people who's disillusioned with white evangelicalism was not as painful as Lecrae's, and yet they threw the brown baby of Bethlehem out with the white bathwater. So Piper's also saying, lumping in with this as well, it is a problem. Very much alluding to things. They're done with Christianity, done with the Bible, done with Jesus. Yeah, you know why they're done with that? Because they were never born again in the first place. But anyway, except the one they create to fit their present political mood. That could have been Lecrae, it could have been you. So he's basically saying, well, I'm glad he didn't apostatize completely. That's what he's thankful about. That's his hope. Section talking about white evangelicalism. What does this loosening from white evangelicalism mean for multicultural relation? Multi-ethnic, sorry, relations. I don't know. It's look, guys, this is all to do with sin. All to do with sin. Just say you have two people are born again, and they come from maybe two different families, forgetting about race or anything like that, just say they come from feuding families. They need to repent if they've got, you know, bigotry and hatred towards that other brother in Christ, because they're one in Christ now. And they've been, if they are forgiven in Jesus Christ, they've been forgiven far more than they will ever forgive in their brother in Christ. He says, I don't know what it will do. It'll cause division. You know, he then quote, he talks about what Lecrae read the first draft of this article. He commented that his experience has been that white evangelicalism generally assume they are acultural. Well, that's a very racist statement, a very nice broad brushing. And bring no cultural inference into the fleshing out of their faith. I don't know anybody who does that. And I wouldn't like to generalize any group based on color. Okay? So, yeah, everybody brings cultural or any other kind of backgrounds with them. They bring all sorts of sin with them, which, through sanctification, they, by God's grace, will shed and be brought into conformity with the image of Christ. But when it comes to the wider and larger implications of some young Christian African American loosening their ties with it, I don't know what they mean. I don't know. But then he says, some things Lecrae said in the interview made me cringe. The reason I have to put white evangelicalism in quote marks throughout this article is that it puts too many whites in bed together. What does he mean by that? I was like, too many. No, he's okay with the anti-white sentiment. Then what does he say? And then he said, John Piper and a few million other supposed natives didn't vote for Donald Trump. What does that mean? You're saying that people who voted for Donald Trump are racist? I wouldn't have voted for Donald Trump, by the way, but are you claiming that they're racist? Would you have the same problem with somebody voting for Hillary Clinton, a baby killer like Hillary Clinton who wants to butcher them right up until the 40th? Again, I wouldn't have voted for either of them. I don't think any either of them are good candidates. They didn't fit biblical qualifications, either of them. He said, I don't think unrepentant leechers should be president. We don't think Robert E. Lee is a simple embodiment of nobility. We don't think the Confederate flag can fly with impunity. We don't think kneeling... This is John Piper, by the way. This isn't some nut on CNN. We don't think kneeling for justice desecrates the other flag. It's quite clearly against the flag. That's what they all said at the beginning, but I digress. We are baffled that Philando Castile's shooter walks free. We are dismayed at the nationwide resurgence of manifest racial antagonism. We don't think systemic is an intelligent word, but from this I can just gather that he means a systemic racism. You just say the word systemic racism and, you know. Piper is so leftist, he makes CNN look like Fox News. Honestly. Can such rabidly anti-biblical views come from a Christian evangelical pastor? Now, considering what he teaches in the gospel, maybe it's all fitting together, but I don't know. And a few of us, believe it or not, are impenitent five-point Calvinists. What else can you survive? Is that white evangelicalism? Look, guys, this is racism. I don't care. We should, in the church, we shouldn't care what color you are. We should treat everybody the same. We don't give people, because they have black skin, license, carte blanche license to be, well, I'm not going to work with those people and all this kind of stuff. You call them to repentance. You can't force, you can't force Lecrae to do whatever or whatever. But because of their pain, or because somebody might have done something nasty or not nice to them when they were children, whatever, whatever, it's cultural. We're the oppressed group, so therefore we're allowed to do whatever, you know, cultural Marxism, rather than the whole haves and have nots, which you have in the United States now, is more, you know, different racial groups. Make black community and other communities think that they are being oppressed and that the president's racist and all this kind of stuff. Just make yourself victim, because that's the way the political climate works. Whoever is the greatest victim wins. And it's incredible. I haven't read a ton of Piper and his political views. He says, he doesn't know what the implications are. But he's thankful that this guy hasn't apostatized. But he doesn't know what the relationship is. There's going to be division. He seems to think it doesn't matter what his views are. It does. It does have an implication, because you are creating stereotypes, whatever you want to call it, of segments of the church, and giving, at least implying, that there is systemic racism where there isn't. If you are a black person in the United States, you're statistically much more likely to be killed by another black person than you ever are by a white person. How about black-on-black violence? How about that culture? Where does that come from? It comes from the value systems. Is it any wonder when they're listening to rap music and all the lyrics that are involved in that, Tupac and all these other guys? I don't know what's in the lyrics half the time. But it's the gangster lifestyle. What else is that culture? What else is connected with it? It should never be acceptable. But anyway, look, whatever the case is with that, I just said a comment to that briefly. If a man preaches any other gospel, which John Piper does, let him be anathema. And we should not be supporting groups that cause racial division in the church. And we should not be promoting any groups or supporting any groups that allow, propagate, and spread a false gospel. From Paul Flynn, may God bless you all.